When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Open your hearts and loosen your booty holes. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's
and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We are a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy in
2021,
we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. Naomi, my dear love, what's up?
I mean, we're coming to them humbled. Okay, Andrew and I just had our first physical examinations with a medical professional.
Oh, boy.
For the first time since at least 2019, yeah. Early 2019. And
somebody's got high cholesterol.
Somebody needs a follow-up appointment to tackle the rest of her issues. So we are really, you know, it's time to make a change.
It's so funny. So I got my lab results just as some candy Naomi ordered, some vegan gummies Naomi ordered arrived. And I'm just like looking at them and looking at my test results, looking at that. Look, I'll tell you what though.
What?
The cholesterol's not that high. It's a couple. I don't know what the metric is. Millisomethings or whatever.
Like
a handful over.
Okay. Okay.
The top end of what's
acceptable.
So
five over the top end?
Something like that. I think one of them was not. It was like higher.
I'm going to need you to, you know, I need you to live forever.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm always supposed to be the first to go.
I think it's I'll be honest. It's a genetic thing. I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables.
I agree. You really aren't eating cheese the way you used to.
No.
And you're vegetarian. So I really think it's just, you know, you got to be safe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's genetic because my grandfather died of a heart attack.
Wow. Okay. Another Beckerman illness. The Beckerman bloodline is V delicate.
And I don't know what would possibly give him a heart attack. I don't know if it was like fighting in World War II on Normandy. I'm sure that didn't damage him.
No.
I'm sure that didn't give him high blood pressure or anything.
That was just a brisk workout.
Yeah. I've seen Saving Private Ryan. That seemed like nothing.
That was chill. That was chill and fun. It was a time to get together with your buds.
Yeah. Grampy Beckerman, nothing. Nothing in your life.
Grampy Beckerman.
Was it immigrating from Europe to escape pogroms? Was it World War II? What could have possibly given you?
Stress.
Stress.
Exactly. It's like, geez Louise. But, you know, I went into the doctor with a dang doomsday scroll. I said, I have a lot to discuss. I've made a lot of mistakes. And literally she was like, okay, we don't have time for all of this. So I'm going to need you to make a follow up. And so in the interim,
what I imagine, Naomi, was someone with like one of those long trumpety things.
Uh-huh.
And then you unroll the scroll.
Before I got in the room.
Of all the problems. Yep. And the scroll just rolls down. Like almost like a red carpet of illness.
Oh yeah, I stood in the hallway.
A red carpet of illness.
I stood in the hallway.
Yeah.
I stood in the hallway and she just kind of read it. And I just said, any thoughts?
She
any
read
ideas?
It. And then she read you.
She ain't that the truth. She really did. She was like, I want you to live. And I was like, wow. When a medical professional looks you in the eye and says, I want you to live.
And says, come with me if you want to live.
I'm like, all right, it's time.
Naomi, my dearest, my love, my sweet betrothed for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
May they be longer than the doctors are telling us they will be. Who is our guest on today's episode?
Ooh, this is a fun one.
We are talking to the hilarious, the wonderful Solomon Giorgio.
Hell yes.
If y'all don't know Solomon, you better ask somebody. Solomon is a stand-up. You've seen him on Two Dope Queens, honey. Solomon is a writer. He's written for Shrill, High Fidelity, so many others. Solomon is a gift to us. He also co-hosts the new Los Angeles live show called The Old Days at Spoke Bicycle Cafe. And that is a monthly show. The May show will be coming up soon. Follow Solomon to get all the deets.
Yeah, you'll be on that one, right?
I believe I will be.
Yeah.
First show out in the world. So it's going to be huge.
Yeah, if you live in Los Angeles and you Naomi has not done stand-up live in over a year and you want to see what happens... Come on out.
Yeah, and it's also outdoors. It's outdoors. So even though it says cafe, it's an outdoor space. So, you know, You'll be masked and safe.
Or not. Hey, the CDC says you don't have to as long as there's not a lot of people around.
Honey, it's going to be packed.
Well, then wear three.
Wear literally triple mask it.
Yeah. Mask over your eyes, over your ears, and over your mouth.
Yeah. Before we get to Solomon, you guys, just a couple of things I had to tell you about. Solomon's show, I already told you. Also, you know your girl's hosting a second podcast now. It is called I Love a Lifetime Movie. And yes, it involves watching Lifetime movies and recapping them. I host it with the hilarious Megan Gailey, who you may have heard on this show before. And we're just having a good time. These movies are cuckoo bananas. If you are interested, you can listen to us discuss such movies as Sleepwalking in Suburbia, about a woman with sexsomnia. Pool Boy Nightmare, which is about
a murder she smelled.
You can also listen.
Is that one?
Honestly, I was just going to say, I was actually going to let you say it and let them figure out whether it was real or fake, because it honestly could be. You can also talk to How I Met Your Murderer, which is about a podcaster in the clutches of a murderer. I mean, there's so much to do. So if you're interested, just look up I Love a Lifetime Movie. It's a good time. Episodes drop every Thursday. So, you know, couples therapy on Tuesdays, I Love a Lifetime Movie Thursdays. We got a good week ahead.
Yeah. And no matter where you are, whether you are in Tibet or Berlin,
Tibet,
we're doing another live streaming show.
Woo!
Couples Therapy Quarantine Party : Chemotherapy Maybelline Party. Now, if you follow the saga, you know Mabel just had a mastectomy and got the all clear.
Yes.
No cancer in the breast tissue that removed, but because she has had three tumors prior to that, she is undergoing chemotherapy. So we are doing a live streaming show with guests just like we did for the 1 year Quar anniversary at dynastytypewriter.com on May 22nd at 6 p.m. PST. We'll have guests. We'll have fun. If you'd like to send in an advice question, you can do it. Make a video. No more than 2 minutes.
Wow. Yep.
You don't have to be in it. You can film your dog while you ask the advice question. Someone last time, very enterprisingly, I will say, paid for Sam Taggart, friend of the show, friend in real life, to do a cameo.
Asking the question on their behalf. That was beautiful. So there's so many ways you can do this.
And send that video to couplestherapypod@gmail.com. And then watch the show on the 22nd. You can get tickets there. They're only like $5.
Yeah, $5 or $10, whatever you want to do.
You're helping Mabel.
Thank you. All proceeds go to Maybelline. So, who's sleeping right now? You know, she doesn't even know. She doesn't even know she's sick, and that's beautiful. She is powerful. She is hopeful. She is energetic, and we should all be a little bit of Maybelline.
I mean, look, I don't want to be irreligious, but you could say she is a goddess.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Andy has caught me calling her my true love. And always is like, are you talking to the dog? And I'm like, yes, I am. Okay. I think it might be time to get to the wonderful, the brilliant Solomon Giorgio, love of my life, JKJK. I think I'm going to say, roll it. Now, can I tell Solomon about how he's a cipher? Solomon, you're a cipher.
What's a cipher? Is that like a tech wizard? Or
it's one of the X-Men. He can read.
Oh,
any
he's
language.
The one that translates. Yes,
yes, he's a translator. Yes,
which would be decipher, but he's just called cipher. So
right, exactly. Superpower.
What do you now, Naomi? What do you mean? To me, a cipher is like a thing in codes. But for what do you mean by cipher?
I can't quite pin him down. What's going on under the surface of Solomon? You know what I mean? Because he projects glamour, poise, grace, the highest of confidences. but he's also a comedian, so I know some of that's not true. And I'm just trying to figure out what's what.
Well, between the hours of 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., I shit upon myself.
Okay.
And then between the hours of 6 to 5 a.m., you can't tell me nothing. You can tell me nothing at all. How dare you?
Yes. You're a self-aware wolf.
Self-aware wolf. That's good. I'll allow it. I'll allow it. In the evenings, you come alive.
But essentially what it is that whenever I am down, my way of lifting my spirits up is a series of condescending self-affirmations. So by the end of the day, I do feel like the most powerful bitch alive.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, so it is you work on it from the top of the day to sundown. Maybe I should try that because I've just been sleeping.
Yes.
And I you should sleep. Doing it. But you can also do it in your sleep.
Really?
Oh yes. I even pose while I'm sleeping, so people know.
You know, we're going to be answering relationship questions. Mm-hmm. So we like to, you know, find out our guests, like, kind of what are their views on relationships.
And what's your entire history? What I've been saying lately to guests is we're going to start at the very beginning.
Yes.
Your first BF all the way to the last or current.
Okay, great. Because there's only one, so it's not going to be very long of a discussion.
Well, is that true?
Because I was going to say, I feel like you don't have time for these hoes. I feel like you would have like hot, like you don't, I imagine that not a lot of dudes tickle your fancy.
Absolutely. No, a lot of dudes tickle my fancy. They just, I tend to, the more, like, I think the more emotionally unavailable somebody is, the more attracted I am to them. And that is an issue. Because once somebody's nice to me and attracted to me, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
wait, what's that about?
Oh, it's probably because I'm broken. But no, I definitely, dating is something that I know takes up so much time, and I'm very, like, I don't suffer any fools. And there are a lot of fools.
Yes,
there's
exactly.
A lot of fools.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm like, even though you have never been anything but nice to me, I'm scared of interacting with you.
Of course.
Because I know you do not suffer fools lightly, and I am 90% foolish.
That's true.
It's you. I think you think you're foolish, but I have to. Like, you have to understand there are real fools out there, and you're not one of them. neither of you. I think that's a double-edged sword of my personality, is that people who aren't fools are afraid that they're fools and are too afraid of me.
Well, because I guess it's true, like, actual fools are not afraid. Do you
not
know what
at
I mean?
All.
It's part of being foolish. Yes. They have no idea.
Yeah, uh-huh. They'll come right up to me every time.
Now, how long have you lived in L.A.? Have you been a creature of this dark, dark town?
Oh, gosh, it's been, this is going to be a decade this year. It'll be 10 years in October.
So, yeah, it's been a long time. Now, do you feel, like, because we're around the same age, like, what are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
Your interviewing style is so, like, this is the most I've ever seen you be, like, a just, like, Katie Cork, like, like a real, like, interview. Now, I have a question about.
This or is
like
somebody.
Jiminy,
this is...
That was really Jiminy Glick. Now, Solomon.
Look, when you're dealing with a celebrity, you have to speak to them as such.
Look,
when you bring Solomon the grand dame in, you have to bring in your interview skills.
Solomon see me at my absolute worst at game show, so I have no shame.
Oh,
I have no shame anymore. I could not have eaten more shit. I you may have left before we did the lip syncing part.
You had to run to a flight, which I said was the ultimate power move.
Yes. I don't think it was an ultimate power move. I just had a flight.
But to do the show, otherwise it'd be like, I gotta go. You were like,
I thought it wasn't gonna be as long as it was. I thought it was gonna be like most shows, which is like an hour. And I've been to the show before and it was pretty short, but I think it was just like, it's running late. I'm like, I probably should have. I also just mismanaged my time.
Yeah,
it's really, it was me along lines going, I got a flight tonight. Not like, I got a flight this evening. And I still said yes to this.
So you've seen me totally eat shit. So I have no more shame anymore in this interaction or in any of our future interactions.
Yeah, I don't think you. I don't think there was anything for you to be ashamed of. I don't think you.
I have my entire existence to be ashamed.
I assure you,
he runs on shame.
I understand, but you're competing with what other gay men have seen of straight men, and it is a very the bar is so low, and to get under it. You don't have the like. It takes. You have to actually put the work in to go under the bar that we set.
Okay.
Oh, that's good to know. Yes.
My limbo skills are not very good.
That's wonderful.
So, okay, Naomi. Sorry, I interrupted your.
No, go ahead. You know what it is. You know I'm half asleep, and so I'm trying to do the opposite of what my brain wants to do. What my brain wants to do is go, Solomon, go. But I know that's not appropriate, so I'm asking questions. But then you got to come up laughing at me, so now you ask some damn questions. We got company. Solomon is company.
I do want to know. 7 a.m., so.
So you've only had one boyfriend, but you've hooked up often.
Yes, I've had sex many times, lots.
From the times you've been on the show with Casey,
yes.
You guys have talked about, yeah. About say,
wild night.
Wild nights.
Yeah.
Wild nights in Los Angeles and the surrounding areas.
Yes. I've done those wild nights, and I'll do them again.
What? Like, because like casual sex has always been very, I don't like all the like chit chat, and it's not like I have like a large Rolodex of casual sex partners, but like it's just like there's like too much of the like getting to know you stuff, and like I don't it's what about that appealed to you versus
Andy,
like
I barely know any of their first names. What kind of chit chat do you think I'm having over here? What kind of discussions do you think, like I don't know their names first or last.
Fair. Okay.
I'm sure I heard it at one point in the evening, but there's no retaining of information. It's like it's like being in an elevator and somebody asking talking to somebody about the weather. You're not gonna hold any information. You're just gonna be like, where's that dick at? And then eventually you see where that dick's at, and then you just go on with your life.
Well, okay, see, now this goes back to my question, because what I was kind of wondering, you know, we're around the same age. We're like, I guess what I'm asking is sort of, when did you sort of come into your own as like a dating and stuff? You know, like I guess for me, I would say like I didn't really date. You know, I dated like after college. You know what I mean? And then like kind of did like a little bit of that, but didn't really know. You know what I mean? Like it was a little late to the game. So I'm wondering where you were.
Well, for me, because I was just so socially awkward when I first came out, and like a lot of my confidence that I have now is definitely through stand up, because I definitely was very very afraid of like talking to people, and so like I think for me it was just just dating wise it's probably was like a few years into my stand up career, so like about turning like 30 like in my when I turned 30 plus. That's what I was like.
And then you were like,
I was out. I'm still have some apprehensions. I still am intimidated in one-on-one conversations, but okay. So like, I definitely move with more certainty now than I used to.
Yeah. That's wild to me that you're still, like 30 plus. Cause you're a tall, beautiful black man. I feel like they were throwing dicks at you.
Yeah.
No, they weren't.
Like, decade.
Really?
Oh, also, I think that would probably translate very well if I was probably heterosexual, but I don't think it. It doesn't translate very like it's. Well, I also don't I don't like being fetishized. I don't like being and I can definitely you can feel that energy from people, and I especially don't like it when people assume I'd be aggressive in bed. I'm like, baby, I'm lazy as fuck. You're gonna get. You're gonna get what you get. Like I'm not. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to make sounds. Like, this is not a performance.
I'm with you, Solomon. I'm with you. I'm also lazy, and I'm not afraid to admit it.
I just, like, I feel like, especially now, more and more people are like, yeah, I'm more so happy. And I definitely love that people are, like, expressing themselves sexually. But I'm like, hey, there's still some of us that are like, no, no, no. Yeah. I don't need any fanfare.
Well, I call it sex negative. I'm sex negative. And Andy is sex neutral. So that's exactly what it is. All these young sex positive kids out here. And I said, honey, I'm going to lay down. Mm-hmm. And you can join me or not.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to choke anybody. I am not choking nobody. I'm not going to grab things. I'm... let's just lay it. Like, we're laying down.
Yeah.
Why are we ruining laying down?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
What was that? There was like a moment. There was like a moment of like a year or two where like everyone was like choking everyone.
A year or two. Where choking
I think
everyone.
It's been a while. I think choking has been a discussion in the last year or two. Like, and it's. And it's one of those things where I'm like, I'm so supportive of anyone who's into it, but I just don't expect anything of me.
Sure, yeah.
Like, you'll get like a solid like head tap or...
Head tap! Oh, good like, Lord.
If you want like a shoulder rub, I can do like a light push.
Uh-huh, light pressure, yeah, like, light pressure.
Like a little rub, circular rub on the back.
Yes.
But like, I think it's funny because something like that, like choking someone... It would, I would just be afraid to do it. Like, I've never done, so like, I wouldn't know my own strength. You know, it's also the way I feel about pegging. I'm afraid to peg because I wouldn't know my own strength. You see what I'm saying?
It's an additional stress. I don't want sex to be stressful. That's the point of sex, is I don't want any stress in it. And that's the thing, is like, that's their relief of stress, so that makes sense to them. But for me, it's like, I'm not coming today. I'll tell you that. You making me do extra stuff? I'm not coming.
Right. By the way, sex negative and sex neutral isn't about quote unquote yucking someone else's yum. It's about saying you do your thing.
Right.
Yes. We're just gonna
lay down.
Well, and also it's not even laying. I'm being tender. I think that's the thing. I like being tender in bed. That's my preference, is tenderness, because the world is harsh. I get my ass beat from morning to night. Can I just get some tenderness?
Ooh, honey, Effie, we all got pain. That's what that was. I get my ass beat from morning till night. Honey.
Can we say we're tender positive then?
Yes.
Yeah, we're tender positive.
Tenderness positive. I think that needs to be the next movement.
Yeah.
Tenderonis, I think it was.
Yes, tenderonis. We are
tenderoni movement.
So wait, how long did you have a boyfriend for then?
Oh, about like a year and a half. He was a very, like, he was, it just was one of those, like, first relationship for the both of us. Not ill timing on how we dealt with things. Terrible communicating. And obviously, he didn't appreciate me as much as he should have.
Absolutely.
He was dating the greatest bitch alive.
Truth.
Well, and it's just one of those, it didn't work out for numerous reasons, but mostly because I just was like, I don't want to do this no more.
Right. Right. Is there also like a kind of like, you seem like a pretty like focused, ambitious person too, when it comes to both stand up and writing and performing.
Also you were like, dating is a lot of work. I noticed that right out the gate. You were like, it's work. Yeah. And I'm like, that's not somebody who's trying to have a plus one hanging on his arm.
I wouldn't mind it at all. It's just I need somebody who just kind of has everything in line with themselves. Like, I don't even, like, it doesn't matter what money-wise I don't give a shit about. It doesn't matter career-wise. It's just sort of just somebody who just doesn't, like, need, like, me making decisions for them.
Right.
Like, that's, like, somebody who can... Who just can take an active role and pick up, because I am an ambitious person. I am, and so it's like somebody has to be of equal ambition. I don't give a shit what that ambition is. Mm-hmm. It's just, you have to be alive. You have to be like, I apply that ambition to relationships as well, because I definitely don't think of being in a relationship as something, I don't take it lightly. So that's why I don't do it often.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you don't care if they want to be like the number one welder?
No.
As long as they want to be
the number one.
As long as they're doing it on their own regards, and there's a way for us to, like, because I like coexisting. I like making things, I love collaborations. I just don't like it when it's, I don't just want to be in the same thing. As me. I don't want to date another performer. Yeah. I don't think I can handle that.
Very smart. Hold on to that, okay? No matter how much you love them.
Wait, were you always ambitious, or is that just something that's kind of like you've been infected by Hollywood?
Infected.
No, I was always a dreamer. I always would think, and I think for me, I always like to do the work towards the things that I fantasize about. I just never have any intention of them becoming real. So, like through stand-up, I was like, oh, I could do this thing that I really like doing, and I can fantasize about where it could take me. And then I'm like, oh, I'm getting paid for this now? Oh, right, you're going to put me on TV? Oh, I'm going to write for television? I didn't. I did all the work, but I didn't expect this.
Right. Getting a paycheck for something is always surprising. Yeah. I just got one in the mail Wednesday. And I was just like, oh, geez, okay. Oh, yeah. Like, I thought I was just having fun, but sure. Yeah. Yes, no pay my rent, please.
It's not imposter syndrome, because I don't think it's that. I think it's more along the lines of, like, I feel like I got away with a scam.
Yes. Yeah. And totally.
And I love scams, so I'm going to keep scamming.
Like, doesn't the Writers Guild feel like a damn scam? Like, when I look at, like, the paycheck for a week of writing, I'm like, you fucking idiots.
You're like, yeah.
Like, it's too much.
Especially if it's, like, just a week where you're just pitching in the room. Like, all I did was talk this week.
And they bought me lunch. Like,
yeah, all dumb as hell.
It's, like, always that feeling. But obviously, like, you moved to LA 10 years ago, so it's like you moved here wanting to do the thing. Like, you knew, you know, why you wanted to be here.
Yeah, like, I was like, things were happening in my career that kind of, like, because I wouldn't have done the move unless I was like, oh, there's some potential stuff happening. It took 5 years for that potential stuff to kick in and pay money, but that's essentially what it did. But yeah, I was always ambitious, and I always think, like, and it's just... I didn't expect anything, but I still worked towards it. And I think that's just a good, like, mentality to have, is to all, because I just not working towards something is kind of just, like, boring.
I truly feel attacked. I most certainly do not work towards things unless I know I will have.
Well, also, I consider fantasizing working towards something.
Okay, well, that's nice.
Daydreaming is part of working towards something.
You're visualizing, you're bringing it to the front of your mind.
What's that thing with the secret manifesting?
Okay, you're gonna say secreting, but that's like,
I do love, like, when people are like, I manifested this, and you're like, you did everything necessary to reach that goal. I don't know what you think manifesting means, but you did everything, you worked towards it, and therefore it happened. So I don't know if that's manifesting, that's because that's not magic.
My dad is a famous producer. He helped me manifest a career in Hollywood.
Oh, God, I manifested my first feature film with the help of my father's production company.
Steven Spielberg.
Manifestations, visualization.
I have a theory that when someone in this town says they manifested something, they just don't want to tell you that they're like, their uncle is the head of MGM. And that's how they did it. Manifesting is code for I am connected.
I had a hookup.
Yeah.
I had a hookup.
Yeah.
That is
assume everybody has a hookup, and, like, especially as, like, you're young, you're white, and you don't seem that bright.
but it's also like, how do you pay your bills, right? Like, if somebody is like, I've never heard you mention a job, you don't seem to go anywhere during the day, and yet you have an apartment, you have a hookup. There's, like, no way. And there are too many people having secret hookups, which I feel like I didn't find out until more friends of ours started to have kids, because I was like, you booked one commercial 2 years ago. How do you have child money? Oh, you got parents who got some money, and now they're giving it to their grandchild.
If you're driving a Tesla, and I've never seen you on TV, you got rich parents.
You might have a hookup. I think comedy taught me that, too. It's like, the amount of stand-up comedians, I'm like, how do you own things? You don't do anything. Like,
yes. Oh my God!
Like, I had nothing. I had nothing for so long. I had so little. It all fit in a corner for years.
Yeah. How did you, I mean, how do you get past, I mean, I don't mean how do you get past like the resentment, but.
Never.
Yeah. That still lives deep within my heart. But I meant like, how do you, what, to come here to do any of this stuff, especially like Naomi and I don't come from money. Mm-hmm. And it was the only reason we moved out here is because Naomi got a job.
Yeah.
And I don't think we would have, if either of us hadn't gotten a job, we wouldn't have come out
no
here.
No way. No way.
How, like, how do you get the, like, courage to come 10 years ago? Like, what was it that, like, gave you that?
Well, you guys were in New York, so it's...
But she's from New York.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm from New York, so it was kind of like...
Because you had a scene, but it's a city with an industry. Like, it's a city with a scene. Yeah. And I was in Seattle, and that's a city with no industry. So you kind of have to... So those are the cities where you have to make the decision to move to either L.A. or New York, and or nothing's going to happen with your career.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, very few of us, like, have gotten, like, picked up on stuff from our respective cities. Like, Ron Futch has got, like, a bunch of work from Portland before he moved to L.A. But that's not going to happen for all of us.
I forgot Seattle. I always forget you're from Seattle. I don't know why. I'm always thinking it's something else. Because my other thing is, like, because first of all, I love, one of the first time I saw you do stand-up, you know, you did so many jokes about your mother. So, you know, you understand black mama drama. And so that is, like, what's very important to me. But also, too, like, you have three hot brothers. And are they all married or in relationships? Like, I know there's at least one, you have, like, one niece or nephew. Like, I feel like they're very, like, settled, grown-up boys.
There's, well, one of them is living with me, and he's just, he's the only loose one.
The loose end.
He's the only fray in this current climate. But yeah, no, it's just, yeah, we, like, I moved to Seattle in, like, the mid-90s from Central California.
The height of grunge. Is that grunge, Andy? The mid-90s?
Yes, that was, yes, you were in the epicenter of Nirvana and Mudhoney and Pearl Jam.
Ew, Mudhoney was a band?
Green River Band. And
sad white people galore. From as far as the eye can see, never ending. You're just like, what are Sound you garden. Sad about? And they're like, the music. And you're like, that's not how that works.
But, like, I guess I'm saying that, though, to say, like, did you feel also that pressure? Like, I know I feel like this thing with my mother, where growing up the way I did, where it's like, if I was going to do this, I had to be successful. There was no in between. Because not only would it have been a sort of ego bruise, but also, like, I remember one point my mom said to me, I was in New York, and I think I was, like, between temp jobs, you know, something. And I'm kind of doing stand-up at night, but obviously it's just, like, bar shows, whatever. And she, like, literally said to me straight up, she goes, Naomi, I did not work as hard as I did for this to be your life. Very serious, right? Yes. So it was like, well, there's literally no way for me. Like, I have to, like, make this my living. There's no way I can just, like, keep doing a bar show and still get love from my mother.
Yeah.
Did you have that pressure?
Mine was actually spite that I used. I was more along the lines of, oh, okay, I'm gonna prove you motherfuckers wrong. I'm gonna you guys, it's like, Solomon, you what are you doing? I'm like, is this what you want your life to be? I'm like, you know what, bitch? You're gonna eat these words. And yeah, now I give her money and she's like, you know what? I think what you do is wonderful. Lots of compliments coming now that she got her bills paid for.
Was there a moment where that spite, where, like, you felt like the spite had been fulfilled?
The spite.
Oh, there's so many people that, it's the great thing about this country is that it'll give you so many things to be spiteful about. So it's a never ending. The tank is always full.
Yeah. Yeah. See, this is where I feel like we connect. Resentment, spite.
Yeah, it's all, never, yeah. I'm going to keep, like, it's, like, at this point, unless I become, like, a god, I think I will have, I'll have plenty of spite to keep going.
Yep.
Hey, reach for those clouds. I don't
exactly.
know.
Reach for the clouds.
Yeah, where does a god live?
I don't know. Okay,
like, the stars. I was like, I've never heard the phrase reach for the clouds, Andrew.
Because in my mind, you were Zeus. In my mind,
okay,
Solomon
in your
was
mind,
Zeus.
Solomon Zeus. Okay, living, say no more.
Living in Olympia in the clouds. That's what I pictured. Oh, what? No one else pictured Solomon as Zeus?
In the clouds? No, look, I'll accept the clouds. I just feel like that's a weird place for the gods to live. That's like, you can't even see people from that far up.
Right. Well, it's Mount Olympus. I just, in my mind, Mount Olympus, there are clouds around the top where you are. You're in a toga. You're holding a lightning bolt. You're very stately, as you always are.
I'd probably be wearing a fur coat. That's cold up there. It is not my... A mountaintop
that.
And just a toga? What the fuck are these gods doing?
Holy shit. I really want to see that now. I want to see your version of Zeus.
Yeah,
Zeus, but make it Solomon.
Zeus, but make it fashion.
Fake fur, obviously, but...
Obviously, but still.
I wasn't going to...
You need the insulation.
Of course.
Okay, this feels good. I feel like I'm ready. Do you feel ready, Indy?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. Okay. So how do you feel, Solomon? Do you feel like
we... I'm happy to answer people's questions and just give them the wrong advice.
All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back after this.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, y'all. Let me talk to you for a minute about underwear. Yes, that's what I want to talk about. Now, I don't know about you, but my underwear drawer is the Wild West. I've got 12 different brands, 4 different fits. Half of it ain't comfortable. I don't even know where I got most of them. I open my underwear drawer in the morning and I'm like, what do we have here? And these are items I purchased for myself. How did I let it get so bad? How? Well, I'm telling you right now, I am getting myself together with the help of Me Undies. Now that I felt the buttery soft comfort of Me Undies, they're all I'm reaching for in the underwear drawer. I got the cheeky briefs. This is the ones I bought. The cheeky briefs in a fun tartan plaid print. And I'm addicted. I'm addicted. They're made from sustainably sourced beechwood fiber and have a flexible, no-roll waistband that keeps them in place all day long. Thank you. Comfort and fashion. There are so many undies to choose from all-black classics to fun, expressive prints. Me Undies has a look for everyone, and they come in sizes ranging from extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. Thank you, Me Undies, for the range. Me Undies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug. It's breathable, it's stretchy, it's ideal for all day wear. And if you're listening to this right now and you're saying, okay, Naomi, I have enough underwear, well, guess what? Me Undies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And they even have an activewear collection called Move Me, which is the softest activewear on the market. So get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. Me Undies, comfort from the outside in. Hey y'all, wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show.
And we're back!
am here to give you the wrong advice with Solomon Giorgio. Then that is what I'm into. Now, Andy, what is our first version?
Well,
because as you know, well, Solomon, maybe you don't know, we get DMs on Instagram and Twitter. We get emails to couplestherapypod@gmail.com. We get voicemails. Mm-hmm. And voicemails are my favorite because you can really hear where someone's at emotionally.
Why, my dear, this first one is a voicemail.
Thank God.
And of course, if you would like to leave your own voicemail, 323-524-7839, please keep it to under 3 minutes. I suggest setting a timer because
you will get cut off.
Recently, a number of people have left two or three messages because they kept getting cut off. All right.
Yeah, they just here practice first. Write it down and practice.
Hi, Naomi and Andy. I have been seeing this guy since December. We made things a little more official in February. We have a lot of fun together. He's very caring and affectionate. My close social circle is a lot of other LGBT people, as a gay man. His social circle just happens to be a lot more straight people, which I do not have a lot of in my life. He plays video games online with a group of guys who I have recently learned are all Trump supporters and voted for him in 2020. This is who he associates as his closest friends. He said eventually the goal would be for me to attend parties and things like that with these people, because that's what he did pre-pandemic. So when the time comes, that's what he expects life to be like. For me, I can't imagine feigning some sort of friendship with Trump supporters. Is it possible to maintain a relationship when I want nothing to do with his friends? Am I being unfair and prejudging? Or is it 2021 and there's a hard line? I just don't know if I'm being unfair or if this is the reality of the world and I need to set some boundaries. Hope you can help me. Thanks.
I got an answer.
Huh. Can I just say what my actual physical reaction was? Gritted teeth, I would say.
My reaction is fuck that guy. Why are you wasting your time? He plays online video games with Trump supporters? That's what I heard was, I know a guy who spends all day playing video games with Trump supporters, and I'm sorry that you ever got caught into that.
I know.
Untangle the web.
I mean, because here's the thing. Because my first question, too, would be also like, well, have you talked to him about this? Mm-hmm. Because I believe it's 2021 and we now draw a hard line. But I understand that some people don't have that impulse where they're like, well, some people are just like, we don't talk politics, or it's like, I don't want to fight. I still think it's like, that's a privilege that you can just like ignore things and keep going about your business. So I don't buy it. But I think it's like, what does he say when you're like, hey, I can't fuck with a Trump supporter?
Yeah, it's, well, for me, this phone call is a nice little slice of his privilege because he can make the decision on whether or not he should be friends with possibly terrible people. Like, you can get a chance to figure out who they are and maybe get to know them better. But ultimately, they made a decision to elect to vote for someone, an open white supremacist who who specifically said incendiary words to every person of color in this country. So you have to decide that if that is somebody you're associating with, somebody who's okay with being in that, like, even if they don't talk about things, he's still giving a soft approval of their political beliefs.
Right.
And at this point in history, when we're dealing with literal Nazis on the streets being murderous, rampageous motherfuckers, and you have to make that decision to be like, no, I don't need, and because it's not going to get out of your head. It's never going to go at, like, it's going to be something in the back of your mind that you're going to feel guilty about. And that's not a basis you should be starting a relationship with. Like, you should be starting a relationship in the most positive note possible.
Yeah.
And if that's not where it's starting at, then you are taking too big of a risk that's going to lead to much bigger resentment in the future.
Yeah. I mean, flat out.
I'm like, it's, I don't know what else to do. Like, I mean, look, there's this part of me that's like, wants to try to rehabilitate the less racist. I don't know what to do about that. Like, this is the thing. It's just like, Trump was an open white supremacist. There was no debating this kind of stuff. And everyone around him was like one of the most fucking loathsome mutants in the world. Just like the most disgusting, like Stephen Miller is fucking like if Gollum, I was gonna say if Gollum fucked a pile of feces.
Wow. First thought, best thought.
Yeah, I was really trying to think of something more clever or something more.
But it's also like it's one of the things where like people like that do give permission to exist with people that they openly hate. Like there's people who are racist that are fine with black people in their presence. There are people like and these people. So it's like, yeah, he knows these people and they probably are like, we're fine that you're gay. But in all honest truth, they're not. They're not.
Right.
And there's no way they can be. And if they are, they're living, they've decided to have a contradiction, and that is even more warped of a belief. Like it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, you're going to end up thinking that you can change people who are not generally changeable outside of being shamed furiously by society as a whole.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things, Naomi, I've been saying for years now. We have to bring shame back.
Right. We have
not
to bring
shame about
shame.
Like sexual things, not shame about like those personal things, but shame about, you have to feel, at the very least, you may not feel bad about being a white supremacist, but you should feel that it is shameful to say it publicly.
Yeah. You should have to keep it to yourself.
We need to bring that back. Let's start this campaign.
No, it should be definitely, like, everyone who associates with things should be, like, people make fun of us. I'm like, not enough. Not enough people do.
Exactly.
You feel comfortable enough to speak about it, and you feel comfortable enough to think you're not. And they're, like, they use enough dog whistle things to assume that they're, like, safe. But I'm like, we know who you are.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and I also say this, and I know, you know, I believe you can tell a lot about people by the company they keep.
Mm-hmm.
So I also need you to kind of look at this person you're in a relationship with. Because this person has no problem, you know, because again, it's not even just that their voices, you know, you play video games with, right? Headset to head. No. You saying you hang out offline. So that's even worse. It's like one thing if you're like, well, I never see them. I just, you know, even then still fucked up, but I could kind of see being like online. I don't care. But no, you interact with these people. You interact with these people knowing full well what they think. And if they have decided that, they could be friends with a gay man and that's the one sliver of acceptance they have in their life, why do you want to be friends with them?
Yeah.
Why does your boyfriend want to be friends with them? I just have to say, like, if you're a little too loose about, you know, that kind of thing, meaning people, bigots, if you're, like, kind of just like, down to just, like, have a little, like, let's get a cocktail with a bigot.
Yeah.
No. Too loose. It's like it's a gateway. It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I mean, you hate to be too harsh because I know, like, you know, we all have friends who can be a little trifling or they get drunk and embarrass you. So I hate to say, like, you know, your friends say something about you all the time, but certainly that type of point of view on life that you choose to be around.
It's eventually going to lead up to something, and then you're going to have to be like, oh, he's going to probably get, like, give it a while. He'll say some fucked up too. Give him a little time. He'll say something fucked up too. Like you can't, if you spend that much time with people, you have to have something outside of just the video games to relate to. So
right.
Yeah. I just want to say, look, we're not trying to police anyone's thoughts. All right. We just want them to keep their thoughts private.
I want to police their thoughts. I want to erase every white supremacist memory as much as I can.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That needs to be a new Men in Black. Men in Black shouldn't be about aliens. It should be going around with that neuralizer thing and erasing the memories of white supremacists.
But if it was like something that I can put, like a glove that I can put on my hand and I could, and just one slap make some stuff.
Slappable.
This is a good idea. This is a great idea.
Look, the Men in Slap will be...
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's it. You need to figure out. You know you don't need to be with this person.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you know it's not a good idea and you can tell it's not a good idea. And I know that you're reaching out to this number to just get the affirmation that it's not a good idea. Because you already know that this show has one black person. And the other one's like, oh, so you also the Jewish person. So I think they're going to be like, hey, maybe don't date the guy who's hanging out and chill with Nazi sympathizers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
It's just this part of me. I'm just like, we can rehabilitate these people, and that part of me, the longer time goes on, that part of me just gets like crut. That little part that started off as like a tiny pea is now like a molecule.
Yeah, you
it's
should
now,
get like, rid of atom. It completely.
It's gone now. At this point, it's gone.
Look, what you need to do is work on the script to Men in Slap and not worry about
starring Naomi and Solomon. Naomi and Solomon.
That would be really fun. We would look good in suits.
Oh,
we
I would
look good in suits.
We'd look good slapping the shit out of white men.
Here come the Men in Slap.
I know some producers listen to this.
Mm-hmm. Hollywood, are you listening?
Are you paying attention?
Consider this the pitch meeting. Okay, this next one comes to us anonymous from an Instagram direct message.
We love right? it.
It says, my mom is really bad at keeping track of her money, and every month she asks me for money, which is fine. Like, I live at her house and everything, but recently she's been needing more and more. Parentheses. I usually will pay her $250 for the car insurance and $200 for weed every month. But last month she needed $1,000 from me because she didn't. I didn't read this before.
No,
that was really funny. But last month she needed $1,000 from me because she didn't have money to pay her mortgage. And again, mm-hmm. this month she just told me she needs another $1,000 for the mortgage. Like, what do I do? I don't know how to tell her I can't keep giving her all this money, and I feel I'm not able to save any because I always have to give my extra money to her, and she knows I have it, and I keep doing it, so it's like she expects it now. I don't know. I don't want her to be sad, but also like four question marks. What the hell?
Yeah. Huh. So, and that's funny because you had mentioned earlier like giving your mom money, and I know like in joking form, but I don't know. I like this is like real to me, and
yeah,
because basically what he was saying too, this the writer was, you know, because he's like, I live with her now, but I'm trying to save to not live with her. But if I got to give her $1,000 every month, I can't save to not live with her. And yeah. so it's like, you know, and I know, you know, it's, I lived with my mom for a while.
Yeah.
Like when I came back from college, and of course it was in New York, and I was like, oh, I got a bed in Harlem. I'm going to stay here. But, you know, yeah, it came with like, it was very much like, okay, you will pay the following bills.
Mm-hmm.
But welcome I knew that going in. Yes. And like, I knew that straight up. It's not the same as like, just like, pass me $1,000 right quick. You know what I mean?
Look, it's one of those things, like, you're going to have to either, it's, like, yeah, it's if you say, you have to say no eventually, be like, I can't, I have to, I'm trying to move out, but also, like, what's, like, get out. Also move out, that's also, like, I know you're trying to save money, but how much money do you got to save? Especially if you live in a place where somebody has a $1,000 mortgage. I don't think it's that expensive to rent.
Yeah. Also, but what happens? I mean, I think this is where it's difficult. It's like, well, what happens if that mortgage doesn't get paid?
Yeah.
Then both of you are out.
Well, that's the question.
But no, she'll figure it out. Yeah, no, mom will find it from somebody else.
I think she's fine. It's just now, like, it's one of those things where somebody, it's just make things easier for them. It's kind of, you have to just be straight up with your mom and be like, hey, I've got to not give you too much money or find another situation, find another couch.
It's hard to be straight up with mom though. You mm-hmm. know, it's so hard, especially then when you live with her, especially because as we hear from the weed, they have a blurred lines relationship. You see what I'm saying? Like yeah. if you give a mama money for weed, y'all hanging out. Yeah. So it's like you guys are part friends, but obviously that's your mother. You're huh. living in her house. You are paying for like the car stuff. And so I think it can be so hard to just be like, look, because I feel that same way. Like my mom has asked me for money and I don't say no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say no.
Yeah. It's like, you know, just, at some point, like it's what do you, if you want to live by yourself, you just move in with your mom.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm paying $1,000, I better have a bedroom. I'm gonna throw my weight around.
Do you have like that direct relationship? Like, can you say, like, I can't just directly say things to my parents.
I can say things, like, I don't say things directly to my parents unless it's some my parents say something so terrible that I have to say the thing that negates it. For the most part, mm-hmm. I just don't give a shit. I'm not here to start a fight because there'd be a million fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I definitely know that the power structure is the dynamic has shifted, and I'm not like the child you can talk down to and say tell them what to do with their life.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Wait, when did that shift?
When I gave my mom money about a few years ago. Because like she would still talk shit to me on the phone, and I would just hang up. But now, yeah. I say shit back, and she's like, okay.
Okay, that's a little later than I thought, because I was gonna say too. And it goes back to what you were saying. It's like you gotta move out in order to draw that line.
Yeah, you know? It's essentially probably the only way to do things because she is doing you the ultimate favor of letting you intrude her space as an adult.
Yeah.
And it's also like, hey, she gave birth to you, so that's you'll never stop owing her. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
Even though you never asked for it.
so it's but one don't of those, tell her that, because then she'll slap you in the face.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you just have to find another situation where you can save money for yourself, because it's essentially not one of those things that it's gonna easily go away.
Yeah. Oh, I got an idea. This is a genuine one. All right. What if she asks for $1,000 and you say, I can give you blank. I can give you 500. And so like your timeline for moving out, it goes longer, but you're also not cutting her off and instantly.
True. It probably can be done.
Yeah.
Good luck to whoever this person is. Negotiate. bring a lawyer in if you can.
Yeah.
You also have to move far enough away that she can't roll up on your doorstep. Because I remember when you and I, our first apartment was only like 15 blocks from my mom's house. And you know I was called on to let Con Edison in, to like, you know, do all this work in the house. Like it was like still like, and it's like, you got to be far enough away.
Yeah,
so that you are not on call, because she'll still ask you for money even when you move.
Yeah, at least one town away.
But at least when you move out, you're like, oh, I don't have that money because I have rent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the only reason I'd have children is so they can take care of me one day.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any other reason to have children.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
What were we just watching? We just watched something where we were like, maybe we should. Oh, there was a John Oliver.
There was
a Last Week Tonight thing about like nursing homes and assisted living care facilities, and we looked at each other and we're like, should we have kids so someone takes care of
so
us?
We don't get abused in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. But I don't want a baby, so we decided we were going to adopt a teenager.
Yeah, when we're in our 60s, we'll adopt a teenager.
I was going to adopt a teenager too.
Yes,
I was actually going to adopt like a squad of black teens. I was going to show up and be like, give me your sassiest teens. I want the I will show up with non-brand shoes, and the ones that make the fucking meanest remarks, they're going with me.
By the way, not a bad idea for a TV show either, folks.
Oh my God.
Who's listening?
Oh my God.
But yeah, no, I just think teenagers are great because they keep you young. They don't respect you, which is definitely, I don't want that from children. When children are just too nice, I don't trust them. Like British children that are polite, that's a fucking demon. Get the fuck away from me.
No, see, I hate teens. Teens are really scary. Teens are so mean and scary. Like, if I remember, like, walking in New York, if I, like, passed teens on the street, I'd, like, kind of seize up for a minute and just be like, keep it quick. Look down. Don't let them make fun of you. Don't let them make fun of you.
Oof.
See, I was the opposite of that. Whenever a kid was mean enough, I'd be like, what can I do to become that person's friend?
Especially if it's, oh my God,
especially if it's a black teen girl, I'm like, what can I do to learn her secrets? You. The fact that you made up a whole song about my outfit just by looking at it, like right. that is a power that I want to bring to my side. It is it is a weapon that you can use to benefit you.
Wait, what's that about?
Hmm.
What's that about? Like, what is it like that attracts you to that?
You like the
it's
evil.
It's just so beautiful. It's an art form. It's not appreciated. Like, bullying is not appreciated as an art form, and it is. those mean kids, like, they're like, there's bullies that are just like just hit you and run off, but the ones that just talk shit incessantly. The
psychological warfare.
That is brilliance. That is a future CIA spy. That is somebody who will topple governments down if you point them in the right direction.
And that's what you want to do. You want to point them in the right direction.
Yes. Yeah. I want to give mm-hmm. black sassy teens an opportunity to use their skill set to make the world a worse or better place.
Yeah, I get it. I get watching it. It's I don't want to be in the line of fire. Mm-hmm. I get like watching Elektra read mm-hmm. the lady in the in Long Island.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we watched the end of Pose, yes. You know, when mm-hmm. they go yada. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is a thing of beauty. So I understand it. I just like, you know, it's there's this tingle of fear cuz I don't want to be
even watching
someone on TV. Even in a scripted TV show, watching someone,
yeah.
there's a tingle of fear that, like, what if she turns out and sees me, and then I'm in the line of fire. I'm like, shit.
I live for those moments. I thrive in those moments. Because I like going toe to toe. I like showing up to a shit talking session. I don't even like roasts. Because like roasts, like those are prepared. There's some love in it. I want acid spitting. I want impromptu improvised shit talking where there's no rules. And yep. there's a good chance someone's gonna walk away with my weave. That's a kind of
Paramount Plus. Are you listening? Solomon is the new the new Jeff Ross.
Spitting acid.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do one more. This is a voicemail.
Okay.
Hi, Naomi and Andy. I'm Julia. I'm 27. I live in Brooklyn. I'm calling with a roommate issue in question. So I got a new roommate in August, which was its own total saga. But me and my other original roommate found this guy who's a mutual friend. We vetted him. Definitely not my preference to live with a man, but here we are. He's totally fine, except for this thing. So anyway, when he first moved in, he went through this wild series of unfortunate events. Like, I've not seen anyone go through this much personal, like, life tragedy on top of everything else. So he's definitely going through a really hard time right now. He's definitely not, like, feeding himself well or maybe at all, from what I can tell, which is not really my business, except this part is, I would say. So the one snack that he loves, and it's his self-proclaimed favorite snack, he'll walk around the house and be like, I love this, which is wild to me, is he loves to eat handfuls of raw spaghetti. Raw spaghetti. It's crunchy. Okay, so for context, I have a little touch of misophonia, which is like with certain small sounds, such as someone chewing raw spaghetti, it incites like a rage reaction in me, and mm-hmm. I can sort of like feel it, like I experience it as pain in my body. Mm-hmm. And so this is like a really weird mismatch between us. I definitely should have nipped it in the bud the first time he did it, but honestly, I was truly shocked that this is what he was eating, so I didn't say anything. And now I'm not really sure what to do. I don't really know if the ship has sailed. I'm sure I should just bring it up, but honestly, he really seems like his happiest when he's like, he'll like kind of hop around the house eating raw spaghetti, and I know he's going through this really hard time, so I want whatever happiness he can have, but it's really driving me up the wall. So any thoughts on how to broach the subject would be greatly appreciated. I also just wanted to, you know, be able to vent that this is something that someone does. And one time he alternated eating the raw spaghetti with handfuls of almonds, and that was a moment where I left the house and took a walk. Anyway, thank you very much. I hope you answer this question on the show. Bye.
This is insane.
This is one of the situations where I know everyone involved is white. it is just like, huh? But it's just so much passive aggression that is truly unnecessary.
But handfuls of raw spaghetti? Look, that's gross. Like, what is even the flavor?
It's the texture.
Yeah.
It's the mouthfeel.
End of the day, it's just, you can say, hey, it bothers me when you do this. I will try to not be around when you're doing it, but if you can also avoid doing it around me, I would appreciate it. But yeah, but essentially it's her problem. It's not right. his. It's
yeah.
It's like,
unfortunately,
it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah. It's like,
you got to put in noise canceling headphones.
Yes. I was going to say, I mean, misophony is real.
Yeah. Like, and it's, no, it's real, but that's the thing that you have to tell people that up top. It's like, it's
that's
really like, no one's going to be aware enough to that. Yes. The idea of eating raw spaghetti is insane. But also if he's willing to share that piece of information, you should share.
right.
The sound of that is one of the most annoying things in the world. And I feel like that's also something he's probably not surprised by, that somebody's like, the sound of you eating raw spaghetti, it infuriates me. And as a matter of fact, because I'm a person, certain sounds also cause me to be very mad. Like the sound of my mom eating cereal, I don't want to be around for it. I want to burn the house down. And that's one of the, and it's just, but I also, I walk away from it. Mm-hmm. It's essentially, you have to tell people what's going on.
Right.
And then the compromise would be like, hey, we should just be mindful.
But also, he needs to leave. Anybody who's walking around your house skipping and eating raw spaghetti,
I love this.
I love raw spaghetti. And then he just hops around the house. He sounds terrible.
Oh no, he's for sure a serial killer in one way or another. And that might be the only thing that stops him from murdering. So maybe,
right.
Yeah, maybe this is the last straw before he, you know,
the last spaghetti.
Last spaghetti straw.
What are you drinking? What? It's rice. What do you mean you're drinking rice? It's raw rice. I can drink raw rice if I want.
Like, it's just one of those things where I feel like people, like when you live with people and their bad habits show up, and it's this is why I'm just so. Like, I'm very happy to live with my brother because we have the same bad habits. So there's nothing he does that I don't do that I'm not I can't be disgusted by.
Have you ever had a weird roommate?
Many, so many, and I've had to call the cops on one.
Why?
Because he was swinging a bat at me.
Oh my god!
Jesus.
Yeah, I lived in so many flop houses here and there. So it's always just like, there's always one person that's like, I've been secretly doing heroin for the 2 months I've been living with you. And you're like, oh, tight. I guess I have to deal. I guess I have to deal with that real quick.
Oh, my goodness.
Or it's like, I drink malt liquor every night and I don't flush the toilet.
Oh, no.
So you're like, awesome. I guess that's something don't live with men is what I recommend, honestly.
I was going to say, before your brother, were you living alone?
Yes.
Okay.
But I was also I've been living with, it's just one of the things, like, if you don't have the resilience to deal with the disgustingness of living with men, especially single men, because single men have nothing to get ready for or to live up to no one to impress. So single straight men are hands down like the worst. Like no matter what they're going through, you're gonna find something that they're like, plates will disappear for months at a time. And just reappear with trauma. That's the best.
No.
I had a roommate once. He came from a very wealthy background and didn't understand how to like keep a hat, like do anything around the house, like care for it. I remember once there was like, he wanted to clean the floor, so we took like our spaghetti pot and put like bleach in and just destroyed the pot.
Oh my god.
And then used that as like to like mop. It was like, I just remember like coming to like destroyed pots and pans.
Oh, Jesus. I've woken up to burnt mac and cheese on the stove because they left the thing on and almost burned down the house in the process.
Oh my god.
It's just a list of things. You just kind of just be like, once you agree to live with single straight men, you have to make a sacrifice. In the grand scheme of things, chewing raw spaghetti, low level on right. what has been done in my in the premises that I've paid money to live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny how much of these advice questions boil down to have a direct conversation with a person.
Yeah, it is. It's sort of like the plot of every like rom-com where it's like, if you just said something, the movie would have been over. It'd been like a 10 minutes in if you're like, hey, I like you. And they're like, oh, me too. I like you too. And then it's over. And then they...
I think people ask advice questions because they're trying to find an escape hatch for that direct conversation. That the direct conversation is so uncomfortable for like 90% of the population that they will try anything else before they have to have that conversation.
And here's the thing is that the direct conversation is the best one. Like I love confrontation. I love making sure that everyone in the world knows exactly how I feel about something because it's just truly... Wow, what a waste of your life to just not tell people you don't like them.
<It's>... But have you always been direct like that?
Oh yeah, I think my directness is it's so much to the point that people think like, are you okay? Because you just seem to just tell your truth, and I'm like, I thought that's the best way to live your life. That's why I tend not to be so stressed out so often.
That's true. You let it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. You wanted to live with, but because it also sounds like too, it's like he's gone through something and it's like, which makes me feel like you're afraid to say something because he might be volatile.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or like he might like have or he might be like sad or he might have a tantrum or he might whatever. And it's like, I don't know. This person came in. Did this person sign a lease? Can they be out in 12 months? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you have kind of the option to, because as you said, you didn't even want to live with a guy, but you were kind of stuck in the situation. So either he goes or you go.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is. But it's also like it might not even be a go away situation. And really, like, because you don't know what the next person's gonna have. They might eat cooked spaghetti, but then they also might throw some toes in there. We don't know. Like, the world is a fucking gross and dangerous, disgusting place. So it might be one of those things where if you just genuinely be like, hey, not around me.
Yeah, this is my thing. Can you just accept my thing?
Yeah, can you go snack in your room, you fucking lunatic? Like, what the hell?
Try spaghetti.
Yeah, and also noise-canceling headphones.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah, yeah, that's a handy one. But yeah. But also, you know what? People can learn to eat his raw-ass spaghetti in the goddamn streets like the fucking hound he is.
Can you imagine just walking down Bedford and just seeing someone walk opposite you just chowing down on
some Ronzoni? Just a box of Ronzoni open.
Eating, yeah, like they were eating popcorn.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Just pull it out for folly. Look, one bow tie at a time.
I've seen Minnie Mouse smoke crack in New York. It's fine. it's we've seen things in the streets of New York.
And you're like, and not in Times Square. Where was this?
Just hanging out in Queens.
Oh, I miss New York.
Yeah, me too.
Solomon, thank you so much for gracing us, for blessing us.
Thank you for truly. It was a blessing for me too to see your faces.
I know, so good to see you. Glad you're looking well and thriving, and we should all be so lucky, honey. Men in slap and have a direct conversation. Those are my two takeaways for this episode.
Producers, you have our contact information.
CouplesTherapyPod@gmail.com. Okay. Right. We'll see you next week.
Time. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.